Welcome back to The Road to Stormont, a Green Ball podcast special where we've been chatting to some of the best, funniest, most talented and dedicated people in Irish cricket ahead of the test match between Ireland men and Zimbabwe men. Listen back in your favourite podcast app to hear our interview with Phil McCormack, who's preparing the pitch at Stormont, as well as people you mightn't see in front of a camera, and many more. But this episode is very much about change coming in. First up, it's Andrew White.
Andrew White, national selector.
You said national selector. What does that actually mean, and what do you actually do?
It's quite a wide-ranging role these days. Obviously, with the amount of cricket that we're playing across, you know, the different levels from obviously the national team, then you have the Worlds program, you have the emerging program, and then as we've had last week, the Future Series. So it's, I suppose, casting an eye over the whole pathway, and obviously making sure that the information that I'm providing the head coach with gives him an opportunity to learn more about players within the system, and then obviously selecting squads with Heinrich for international performance.
Selecting the squad for Test 1 and selecting the squad for Test 9, do you think there's any different feeling? Does it feel a bit more normal these days, or is it still a special occasion?
It's still special. I think, you know, the thought process, I just remember the thought process that went into that first test match selection. We were really clear, sitting down with Graham Ford weeks in advance, in terms of, it wasn't a case of just picking a squad to play against Pakistan, it was picking a squad that would give us the best chance of trying to win that test match on home soil. You know, taking into consideration the conditions, the opposition, and you know, the selection for Test Match 9 is no different. You know, Heinrich is very thorough in terms of how he wants the team to play, and therefore we need to pick a squad that's going to give us the chance to win. And that's been the biggest thing. It's not about picking a squad to play a Test Match. It's picking a squad to win a Test Match, and hopefully we can back up the victory against Afghanistan in a couple of weeks' time.
And now, Gary Wilson.
Gary Wilson, batting coach.
You retired in 2020. What do you miss about playing?
I don't miss anything, if I'm honest. I think it was a good time. It was the right time for me, with a number of good young players coming through. I got a great opportunity to go up and work in the Northwest, who were so good to me. And at the time, I knew Fordy was keen to get me back involved with the Irish setup. And, you know, I think for that reason that I'm still involved, because Irish cricket means so much to me and the team. I think if I wasn't involved in the setup, I would probably miss it then. But I think, you know, I'm aware of things fell into place for me and how lucky I am. But I think being involved just means that I still get to enjoy it. I still get to experience the change room. I still get the experience. You know, you get the same feeling when you win games for Ireland. It doesn't matter whether you're playing or coaching, you put the same amount of effort in. So it's I don't miss anything about the day-to-day actual playing of the game. There's lots of things I don't miss. I don't miss getting hit in the shin for not very many, or dropping a catch that I could or should have caught, or whenever you have see one of your teammates go through a bad patch. So there's lots of things I don't miss, but the actual playing the game, yeah, I have to say I don't miss much.
And the transition to coaching has gone pretty smoothly. What is a national batting and keeping coach? What do you actually do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I guess I could be anywhere, really. I could be up in Derry, I could be in Belfast or in Dublin. Generally, I'd be 2 days a week in Dublin, maybe one in the Northwest and two in Belfast. And then, yeah, I guess organising a little bit of training up in Belfast, making sure there's always a... We're trying to make sure there's always a surface for the players to hit on in Belfast, which is a little bit harder up there because we don't have the HPC that we have in Dublin. And then it's just trying to manage your time and be as fair to the whole group, not just the guys who are playing in the first team at that particular time. I'm trying to do more work with guys coming out of the under-19s, so like trying to keep an eye on them, maybe just once a month checking in with them to see how they're progressing. Building a relationship with the guys in the senior team around their batting, and I get my role, I think, with them is probably more of a mentoring type role, and that's the way I would see it. Like, you know, they're most of them now are really experienced in international cricket, and they don't need someone looking over their shoulder telling them how to do things day to day. It's just bouncing ideas off each other. Then I give them the odd idea. They would come to me maybe with the odd idea, and then we talk about it and hopefully come up with a plan. But yeah, I think it's been well received, and you know, we're lucky at the minute that we've got a very good group of batters and plenty of them.
So county cricket's no longer available to us as a finishing school, as they say. Give people a sense of what the Irish system is building and developing.
It's disappointing, but it's a reality that we don't get to go and play in England anymore. So I think what people have to maybe remember is that the Interpro started in, 2013 in their current form. So we have to try and stand our own 2 feet. It's hard. We need more, better facilities. I think the biggest thing in England, you get good training pitches in the majority and you get good playing surfaces in the majority. Whereas here, sometimes the grounds we're playing on all the time, through no fault of their own, possibly the weather plays a part of it, but the surfaces maybe just aren't quite as good as they are in England for large parts of that. And then that means that certain type of bowlers are able to be successful where they maybe necessarily wouldn't be. So I think that's a major part. There's also academies up and running and doing a great job in England, and outside of the under-19s, there's maybe a bit of a void at the minute in between under-19 cricket and senior cricket, and I guess that's probably a factor. The amount of cricket that we play as well, that all needs to, I think, improve. But as I said, it's still in its infancy in the grand scheme of things. It's been going 10 years. I think it's important that we get first-class cricket back up and running, a proper first-class competition, because that will teach players to score big hundreds. It'll teach bowlers that they have to come back for second, third spells. It'll teach bowlers how to set people up, not just put the ball in the same area all the time, but genuinely set a batter up. So I think it's really, really important that we get first-class cricket back.
Now, here's Scott Irvine.
I'm Scott Irvine, and I'm the National League Performance Analyst, working mainly on the men's side of things.
We are here at training in Malahide. We're watching the team practice, which is something you would do a lot, I'd imagine.
There's not a huge amount of stuff for me to do in and around training on a day like this. A lot of the stuff would more happen in and around match days. I obviously sort of pulled every single ball that was on and
every single ball?
Every single ball, yeah.
So, perfect.
Yeah, next week, hopefully the 5 days, there's going to be a lot of button clicking, but I enjoy it. I love the way it keeps you engaged in what's going on and really focused on the game. So yeah, it's a big part of that I enjoy, and especially when you then have either the players or the coaches sitting near you and asking you questions about what's happening. So yeah, I think that's a really enjoyable part of the role. That's something to look forward to next week.
Did you play much?
I did play a good bit when I was younger, yeah. I sort of came through like the Irish age groups, and then sort of by the time I'd got to like 18 or 19, I wasn't really involved in that as much anymore. And when I started university is kind of almost when I started doing a little bit of stuff with Cricket Ireland. So yeah, it very quickly shifted from the playing side of things into having it more involved as your job.
What's it like having a test match in your hometown?
Yeah, pretty cool. I just had a double check with Gary Wilson there that Ireland's first ODI was at Belfast, and I was there with my dad watching it.
Oh, really?
And it's going to be pretty cool that my dad is then scoring the match this week, and I'm going to be involved with the team.
So that's a bit
unusual. Never thought that. 17 or 18 years ago.
Glad we got that take.
We'd have a test match and we'd both be involved, especially with Cricket Ireland. So yeah, it's going to be a cool couple of days for both of us, I think.
That's going to be daily. It's going to be a cool couple of days for all these players, for all of us, and hopefully you get to see a lot of action. You'll be doing a lot of data on every single ball well, hopefully 5 days. We'll see how we go. What's it like being involved in a test match? Obviously, it's very different.
Yeah, I think we obviously played quite a few test matches before we finally got that win in Abu Dhabi, and I think I've been involved in some very important games for Ireland where we've beaten some big teams, but I think a lot of those best memories have been from the test matches, like the time when Kev got the 100 in the first test match, and Mertz's 5 wickets in bowling at England at Lord's. Those are actually the things that really stand out. So, yeah, I guess it was a bit of a shame that we won our first test match, and there maybe wasn't as many sort of friends and family that could have been there to support us as maybe some other test matches. But yeah, I think that sort of the celebrations we had for a day or two after in Abu Dhabi, it was a lot of hard work that had gone on for the players and so many individuals beforehand, and it was very cool, particularly to be part of that kind of squad of players and coaches.
Oh, well, we were all watching. I think there was snow in Dublin at the time. Yeah. We're all glued to our TV screens, just like counting down absolutely every single round. I don't think I got up. Just had to count them down. But where does data fit into the longest format? We hear a lot, obviously, about like data in like T20.
Yeah,
obviously white ball cricket. Where does it fit into the longer format?
I think so much about T20 is fast paced and the kind of need for those decisions to be made immediately. And actually, probably to be honest, in T20, a lot of my work is almost done before the game, and then it's me kind of leaving that up to Sterlo in game to run it how he sees fit, and with maybe the odd intervention from us as the coaches. Whereas I think naturally in red ball, whether it's 4 day or 5 day cricket, the game naturally progresses at a slightly slower rate. So there's actually the opportunity to take a little bit of time and see. Yeah. Maybe over the course of a few overs, if there's a pattern emerging, and then there's more natural breaks in play where you can actually feed that through. So yeah, there's probably not as big a range of information because I guess the 4 day and 5 day game is a lot similar in terms of the way the structure is. But there's certainly the opportunity at various times for us to notice things and try and feed that through to the players.
We'd had Andrew White, national selector, had mentioned kind of the role you played in some of the information gathering. On Zimbabwe, I haven't played them before. I don't play a huge amount of test cricket as well, so it's always really important to get that information together, whatever information you can get. Like, what sort of data goes into picking a test?
Yeah, well, I think, firstly, it's very dependent on what players you have available, which I guess for us, maybe compared to some other countries in the world, we don't have as big a player pool, so maybe some of our decisions are sort of made for us. But I think where we play in the world is massively important. We've played quite a lot of our test matches away from home, and that's maybe where we've had to play some spinners who are a little bit less experienced, whereas potentially now having the test match back in Ireland, that allows some of our more sort of experienced seamers to play a bit more of a role this week. But yeah, it's a really enjoyable part of my role, and I think as we play more matches, and hopefully it's kind of whether that's the Interpros or the Wolves have a bigger schedule, there's actually more information outside of our main sort of 15 to 18 players that we have stuff on that we can actually start to filter through in selection, rather than this is kind of our squad and that's where it is.
How do you find it when you're working with groups of players? Obviously, like big groups of players, so you've got the senior squad, you've got the Wolves emerging side, we just had them. What's it like working with players? Do certain players really like the data side of things? Do you bring that, or do they come to you? How does that relationship work sometimes?
Yeah, I think it's so different. I guess when I started, there was a lot more of an experienced core in the senior team. You know, guys that had played a lot of county cricket, and probably my influence, given that I was less experienced and they were incredibly experienced, was probably not as great. But I think as the younger players have come to the squad, they're just used to it more. They see it on social media, see it on the broadcast. And I think it's just a big part for me was actually what information you give them is almost a bit irrelevant as how you can connect with them and give them that information. So yeah, it was really enjoyable. I did the Wolves trip in Nepal, and that was the first time I got to work with quite a lot of those guys that are just below the senior environment. And again, it's almost educating those guys. It's their first experience of working directly with an analyst that they maybe wouldn't either at underage cricket or for their interpro team. So yeah, it was a new set of guys to get to know a lot better, and I really enjoyed that.
How do you think data analytics will shape the future of the sport? Very big question.
Yeah. I think it's already starting to be honest. And I think that influence of sort of AI, and there's especially through franchise cricket, where you know decision making around players and recruitment is massively important. That's certainly driving the data analysis side of things. Whereas, as I kind of alluded to earlier, because we maybe have a slightly smaller player pool, or we can't actively go out and buy players, that maybe is an area that we won't have at our disposal. But yeah, I think that the amount of information that is sort of automatically generated, it almost, for example, will mean that hopefully I don't have to sit there and click buttons for 5 days on the bounce. And we started exploring that in some of the two white ball formats, where maybe a lot of the information is coming to me already, and I can actually spend my time then analysing and trying to influence the game. So I think that's going to be the biggest shift from a practical point of view for a lot of people.
Last but not least, here's Mark Adair.
Mark Adair, I'm a 28-year-old bowling all-rounder for the Ireland men's cricket team. Yeah, I love the analysis sort of side of the game. I love having, yeah, I'll watch a lot more footage than some of the other guys, I think, and you know, it's good when we sit down together and talk about different plans because we all see it differently. I think the bowling group at the minute is, I think it's probably the most experienced bowling group we've had. You've got Josh Pennell in the world, you've got Barry and Youngie, who've played a lot of cricket, and then myself, Humey. That's sort of been the core bowling unit at the minute, and then the next guys down from that. You know, we're trying to set the standards that they, if they come into the team, this is what we do, this is how we go about it. And I think, you know, both Bal and Sturlo, as skipper, were really supportive of that and helped drive it through. So, you know, we're trying to make sure that the next crop of bowlers are all prepared and all ready to go for international cricket.
Just turning around now, you've just been at a T20 World Cup. It was all about the T20s leading up to that. You had a good preparation, lots and lots of games going into that World Cup. It obviously didn't go as planned. Lots of things didn't necessarily go right. But turning around now and then having to figure things out, change things around and focus towards Red Bull cricket. First of all, what's the difference in the prep? And what's the difference in the mindset? How do you change from one format to another?
Yeah, it's actually probably come at a really good time. I think, you know, after a really disappointing World Cup, it's probably come at a good time where we can press the reset button and get excited about a challenge that, you know, is something we don't do very often, or the novelty's still there. You know, from a bowler's point of view, trying to get your bowling loads up, trying to get yourself ready to potentially bowl 20 overs a day for 3 days, 4 days. You know, it's a slightly different challenge, and I think it is tough, and Test cricket is definitely my favourite format. It's definitely the hardest format, but just being able to sort of have a bit of a turnaround there, and I'm pretty lucky because what I do doesn't really change that much. I just bowl a few less slower balls and be delighted that there's guys trying to not hit me out of the ground every two balls. But you know, the challenge is probably for the batters, just in the fact that, you know, they need to just potentially watch the ball a little bit harder and just get used to that again. But I think the guys have been, you know, rain aside, I think they've been given every opportunity to try and get back into the Red Bull swing of things, and I think it's pretty good.
Join us next time when we arrive in Stormont for what's to come.
I dislike losing more than I actually like winning, which is an interesting sort of way to think about it, but yeah.